The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:05 in the morning, October the 15th. It's dark out there. It's scary. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
Dark 30.
As we used to say. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We've got a lot of things going on today. Political comment by me.
Wow.
About things that I see going on that I don't really like.
Boy, did you, you have calls?
In our town. I'm getting phone calls at 6:30 in the morning at my house.
And last night up till I'm not sure what.
That's right. And I'm getting, you know what I mean? And frankly, we, the people of Reading, deserve a little bit better than this. I'm serious. And if I'm part of this, because we also have a media company, then I need to know about it. But I'm going to talk to you about what I think are just – that are just wrong. It's just wrong. We're not Chicago. We're not New York. We're not Sacramento. We're not San Francisco. That we need to work together. And some of the things that are being said or the way they're being said are totally wrong. But we're going to get to that in a little while. But Bad Bob – You're looking snappy.
You got a haircut.
Look at you, snappy today.
my haircut last week. By the way, I mentioned to you yesterday I was going out to Whiskey Town for a little.
Yeah.
Just got soaked to the skin, and it was about 70 degree air to air temperature. By the time
it was raining out there?
Well, it was raining under the helicopter. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
we just got drenched, and I had my taste of winter yesterday out on the boat, so that was fun.
Fun. What were you doing? Can you share?
We were doing an exercise, which we've been doing for several weeks now, each Tuesday. Next Tuesday would be the last time that active duty Coast Guard from Air Station Humboldt comes inland to practice their rescue techniques in a more friendly environment than what they would deal with offshore with the salt and the dangers out there and things like that. Whiskey Town's an ideal place for them to execute those maneuvers and train using the local Coast Guard auxiliary as a target boat to lower the swimmer onto and do the basket operations and all those things that they need to keep their skills sharp.
Well, I have a question, if you don't mind. I know this is kind of, we're not doing the average rundown this morning. Usually we do the brought to you by and all that. Hey, Bob, because we're hearing so much about, you know, of course, another case of Ebola. Was that brought up last night in your meeting? Has it been brought up at the emergency response with Coast Guard?
We didn't have a meeting yesterday. This was an exercise out on the lake.
I'm going to talk about that, though.
Well, we wouldn't normally. We would not be part of any health. The auxiliary helps the Coast Guard with non-law enforcement, non-military items pertaining mostly to boating safety.
Okay, didn't know. Perhaps. You never know when something happens in an emergency situation. And we were just talking this morning. Well, Carl, I can really expound on this, but how about we get back to the program? I'm sorry, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's tell you about the temperature, 54 degrees, chance of showers today. Why don't you take your boat out, too? Maybe you can be rained upon. 50% chance of rains today with the temperatures around the highs of 66. Mostly cloudy tonight, 50, partly sunny tomorrow, 69, partly cloudy tomorrow night. And Friday is rain. We love it. Can you smell the damp earth when you walk out in the morning? Fabulous. Weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You've heard the customers. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793.
Okay. Second case of Ebola has
that we know of.
Well, I mean, the second healthcare worker has come down with Ebola. Now, they had 77 healthcare workers working with this gentleman. They came back from Africa, who then died, who was went to the emergency room, was sent home with ibuprofen or whatever, came back, and now has, you know, and then he died. Well, this, then a nurse came down with it, and they're saying, well, they didn't follow, you know, she didn't follow the protocols. Well, now the second nurse has come down with it. And we've heard a number of things. It's just how smart a virus is Ebola. Is it something that can mutate as we fight it? Is it that nasty, or is it something that can be handled? Bottom line, though, on it is that the second nurse, which means then is that the precautions they're taking obviously aren't good enough. You know, if one happens, but now you have a second one, and what if it's a what if another one comes up? What were their protocols for this? And is this something? How much should we worry about this? Is Ebola here? I know in Africa they're saying there's going to be 10,000 cases a week over the next 2 months, and once it starts like that, you're not going to stop it. The question is how many people have been exposed to it at airports, international airports, or coming across the border, either legally or illegally. And the illegally is even scarier because nobody's checking to see if they've had shots or that they're going through the system, so at least you can track them.
And are we ready? That's what we've been hearing lots of broadcasting. I got to laugh right
There's
now.
There's a centipede that walked across my.
It's not an insect. It's a false eyelash that somehow reached inside of my computer in bag and then got on. I just put it on Carl. I knew you were going
to
get.
Welcome to Life with Linda.
This thing is scary.
A random eyelash.
You put
false
these
eyelashes
things,
will
you put
be found.
Things on your eyes occasionally.
Yes, and it's an art.
It is an
People
art.
People can have makeup artists the other night at the Wind River. Excuse me, we had the Make-A-Wish fashion show. Said, "Did you do your own eyelashes?" I've been doing them since I was 16. I know how to put them on. You know, I've got this whole little thing.
Anyway, going back.
So
going back to
the okay. So what's happening with the outbreak? And that's the reason I ask is because you know you start to wonder. Let's say perhaps a small town, a really small town. I mean, smaller than Reading.
Like Weaverville. Know.
Yeah, we were talking about Weaverville. And
which has a hospital.
It has a hospital. How much is there any – the gear that one would need
– to handle something like this.
Yes.
Well, I think here's a number of things that would happen is say somebody comes into Weaverville to their hospital there and shows all the symptoms of Ebola. And – what they would do, what I think they would do is immediately isolate the person and call for help.
If you're thinking,
you would
if you're ready
call
for it.
Help.
Well, what if you're not prepared to think about the Ebola? It's like over there. It's not here. It's over
well,
there.
But the Mercy and Shasta Regional for sure, and I'm sure Mercy is doing the same thing, are having classes on the protocols of handling somebody with a case of Ebola. And so you hope is that all the smaller towns would, but they won't, they can't, or they haven't, they, you know, they're like, they're thinking, oh, it'll never get here. But once it does, now you've got a big problem. So immediately they're going to have to call in for help, state, feds, who knows, to help isolate this and take care of it. How many of them have the enough hazmat, uniforms to be able to treat this? Because this is something you don't just wear you don't take it home with you. You destroy it and you put on another one the next day, or it's sterilized and you bring it on the next day. And obviously at a large hospital, one of the best hospitals probably in the world in Texas there, that the one of the nurses, and she released a statement today that said, you know, thanking everybody for caring, mm-hmm. and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, either she didn't do it right, correctly, or there's something wrong in the protocol. And I heard what the head of the hospital said. We're learning here,
yeah.
And we're learning, and it's absolutely true. We're learning, and we're changing our procedures. And so there must be something, you know, that they're looking at, and they're saying, okay, we need to do this better. We need to do this better. But as we talked about yesterday,
did we not hear along with that they have nurses and other emergency workers that worked alongside this nurse that now they've got in quarantine?
75 other people are being watched. They didn't
watch list. Okay.
Right. And as we talked about yesterday, when we started talking about binomial distribution. The formula for that is that if you do something enough, eventually it's going to catch you. So if you go into a place where there's disease like this, and if you take precautions, that the more you're around it, the more chances you have of getting it. And if you go in there, you know, one time it's maybe, you know, it's a 99.9% chance that you're going to get it, so almost none. By the 100th time you go in there, though, that's dropped. I mean, your chance of getting it have gone up astronomically. So for healthcare workers. Anyway, hey, we got to take a break, but before we do, last night, you know, we have my job is to handle the sleep number setting. My job.
It's a man thing.
It's on my side, and every night I change it down to my sleep number setting is 40, and then the sleep number setting is 40. Well, last night I left the sleep number bed at 100. Not
on both sides.
On both sides to 100.
Completely full.
You know. And guess what?
We slept
like rocks. Slept like rocks. I can't even begin to tell you how well we slept on 100. And here we are, been wasting our time at 40.
Well, no. Actually, it's interesting because we move around, and that's the beautiful thing about the dual air temp is that you can, if you're a golfer, or, you know, you're working out, your body's extra tired, and you just think, I need some more kush, you know, then you go to the kush. You go to the kush. So my sleep number last night was 100, but usually it's now 45, and yours is?
Now it's 100. My number setting is 100.
No, they say what they say in the morning is that you're supposed to put it up to 100 so it doesn't start getting memory. So in the morning when I'm making the bed, we move it up. Sometimes we forget to move it down, but anyway, so sleep number.
You're going to find this amazing technology, which is absolutely, I mean, well, how much is a good night's sleep worth? It's going to be at your sleep number store on the Target Shopping Center, where a sleep number C2 queen mattress with Sleep IQ technology starts at just $999.98. The Sleep IQ, of course, is just fantastic. Talk to Brian or Janice. And remember that Sleep Number was named Best of 2014 by a leading consumer magazine. And you can see those reports if you look at Consumer Reports. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Mike Quinn of KLXR, and the race for city council is officially on with the mailings of the absentee ballots. I hope you got to see some of the debates so you know my positions on the issues, and I'm asking for your vote. Stay tuned for much more. Paid for by the committee to elect Mike Quinn, Reading City Council 2014.
Swing bands, sweet bands, great ballad singers, the little straight-ahead jazz groups. What wonderful memories the swing era brought us. And they're all still right here, part of Swing Thing. Join me, Fred Hall, on KLXR.
Saturday afternoons, 3 till 6.
At Cypher Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer, not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypher Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Butt on hump day, October 15th.
No one of those in your life?
7:21 in the morning. A lot of things happening tonight at the library at 6 p.m. is, Debbie Sprague is speaking about PTSD and our veterans and our welcome home packages that's going on at the Reading Library. And tonight it's going to be, she'll be speaking, and what a great program she puts on, Debbie Sprague, who has written that book, Stranger in My Bed, which has led to her being nominated and appointed to several prestigious positions in national organizations for those who fight against PTSD. And Debbie's been a guest on our show several times, and we're going to, of course, have her back on more. But this is tonight at the Reading Library, and it's 6 p.m., and I urge people to go to that. If you have not heard her speak, or you have not familiar with the book Stranger in My Bed, or if you're interested in what's happening to our returning veterans from this interminably long war, you need to see to her. You know, listen to this tonight. That's at the Reading Library. Give them a call for a little more information. But Debbie Sprague will be the main speaker tonight.
You know, and we have things like Debbie and there was also articles that came across the wire this morning, and something that we saw in one of the we were watching one of the major networks about 2004 and the shells that were used and that they're finding now, there was very toxic material in that.
New York Times is reporting that. There were, there were thousands of chemical weapons found in Iraq, and this is kind of has never been reported. And the fact that they were found and they were destroyed, and others were found, and now people that have had the results of working with them are ill, and nothing's being done about that because it was one of those dirty little secrets that, oh gosh, this doesn't fit into what we want to have happen. Now, where they found the weapons, the chemical weapons during the war and back in 2003 and 2004. Is now controlled by ISIL, the jihadist movement, which believes in beheading children and burying other people alive. I am positive that they probably moved the chemical weapons before this. I mean, back in 10 years ago. I say I'm positive, but I'm not sure because, who knows what happens with governments and what they do and why they do it. Let's go to the phones. Henry.
Good morning, Henry.
Good morning. You had a conversation with Linda and Savannah last Friday that I got the biggest laugh out of I've ever seen in my life. And my advice to you is, Carl, comes a time when you can't say anything to improve upon the situation.
Yeah, and it started as soon as I said good morning. This was Carl.
No, it was about the man cave. I know
no,
exactly.
No, not man cave. It was about the
first, man show.
The first and now only real man show, which is further and further away every time I open my mouth. And Bob wasn't even here, and Bob didn't even see what happened.
No, you just changed the title a few times, so that's okay.
You think there's been blood on the floor before around here.
Come on.
I changed it.
I think you ought to take that show on the road.
Yes. I think it's definitely, the grunt show. It should be called the grunt show.
The grunt show.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Incidentally, Linda, well, I got you on the telephone.
Yeah, Henry.
I have a friend who was a dancer in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And her name was Marilyn Zach. She was a child movie star, and she had danced with various groups there, and probably yours at one time. She would have been older than you by probably 10 or 15 years.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the name, and I don't remember what her stage name was. But her family was quite prominent in the Hollywood area.
And her last name is Zach?
Zach, Z-A-C-K.
Okay. No, it doesn't ring a bell with me, but Henry, I'm horrible with names. But, you know, you never know. Those were the golden days in, you know, Vegas of those 10 years back. That would have been, you know, 10 years prior to me, it would have been the 60s. And that still was still Rat Pack swing-a-ding time.
Well, this is about the right time. And I think she was with that group that was with Martin.
Yeah, well, they and we did have a reunion back in July of last year, and there were several of the gals that worked with him in the late 60s. So, you know, it's easy to go back and look under Gold Diggers and look under that name, see if she was if she was there that night. So,
well, it would be interesting to see. I know she's still alive and kicking down in Mexico.
Alive and kicking. Love that. We former dancers hope that we can still be alive and kicking. Thanks, Henry, for your call this morning.
You bet.
Thanks, Henry.
You know,
and I learned, because Henry also said something that was very, very, very intelligent, like
so
4 years ago, and he said, Carl, just say, okay, dear. He says, your whole life becomes better. Oh, yes, dear. Yes. Hey, that Debbie with the book talk is going to be at 6:30 tonight.
Okay.
At the Reading Library with Debbie Sprague.
Please, Stranger in My Bed.
Stranger in My Bed, which is not the story of Bob Belongi's life. It's a story about post-traumatic stress disorder.
Or Haven Humane.
How did I get roped into that?
Because you weren't here Friday to help me, Bob.
Or Haven Humane's Pet of the Week.
That's
Stranger
true.
In My Bed. What is this thing? It's Think Pink Week.
Yes.
Or Drink Pink Month,
things
October.
Things are going on.
In fact, I'm wearing my Chicks and Chaps t-shirt today. A lot of things going on. We have the MD Imaging, Reading Post Office. Of course, the date for that is Thursday.
Tomorrow,
when you can drive through and get those bags, it's really a cool, very cool thing that that happens. MD Imaging. I've gone out there every year, and you just drive. You know, the cars will line up. They're fantastic. We can tell you how many are doing the bag sites from Alturas to Anderson to Cottonwood to Palo Cedro, and then the Sundial event is, of course, sponsored by MD Imaging. See the Sundial Bridge awash with pink glow to support breast cancer awareness and education. The bridge will be lit the entire evening from 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. There will be the educational speakers every half hour from 5 to 8. At the north side of the bridge, plus music by Brown Shoe, which are fantastic. These guys are a really great swing, rockabilly. They're kind of a culmination of a lot of different styles, but I think they're very good. Brown Shoe. They'll be on stage all evening, and there is a free shuttle service from the Mount Shasta Mall, sponsored by Raba and Wind River Casino. So go out and see the bridge light tomorrow night, and tomorrow morning, of course, you can get your pink carnation and all the little goodies. Usually inside the bag, they've got a pen and, you know, pads and lots of information on what you should know. And it's free, of course, and people spend weeks and stuffing these bags. And there's thousands of bags that are gone. And if you don't get there early, they're gone. So that's what happens. It's really fun to be on the site, too, to see the people line up. Also this weekend, let me do one more announcement, Carl.
Okay.
Because I know we're going to get into, like, a big thing.
Well, we have Stand Down coming in right after for a few minutes.
I know you really want to get into the political.
And I want to get into the politics.
So should we wait on this announcement? Then I'll.
No, go on and do this one because we have time.
Okay, Shasta Speedway. For nearly 66 years, the action track at Shasta, the fairgrounds in Anderson, has been home of the finest auto racing in the Western United States. Five classes of cars will compete, including the Hornets, Mini Sox, Bombers, Modifieds, and Super Late models. Saturday night features 25-lap mini main events where how each driver finishes determines whether they will start in Sunday's grand finale. Noteworthy for this event are many drivers that have held mini championships in Northern California, including gentleman Jimmy Walker, the lightning-fast crowd favorite who continues to dazzle race fans after racing over 40 years. This weekend, Saturday gate opens at 4 p.m. with racing at 6 p.m. Mini mains in all divisions. Sunday gate opens at 10 a.m. with racing at 1 p.m. Main events in all divisions. Adults only $4.50. Ages 7 to 11, $1. Seniors $2.50. Military free. Woohoo! And 6 and under
and you get,
free.
You get more than because Linda's going to sing.
Carl's going to be announcing on Sunday. He's going to be there.
No,
what a
no,
blast.
Carl doesn't announce those things. Carl says, drivers, start your engines. You are going to sing the national anthem.
Yeah, but don't you? Aren't you there through the?
I am because
up in the box doing stuff all day.
I have to be there at the end and wave the flag, so I get to watch 4 hours of racing Sunday. So come on out and join us. What a great price to get in and have a great day of racing at the.
So the racing starts at 1:00. Gates open at 10:00. Let's get going. More information on that, we'll let you know later on in the show. Shasta Speedway this weekend.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhood safe and strong. Vote for me, Brent Weaver. Together, we will take back our city, streets, parks, and neighborhoods.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for City Council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated, peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy, and we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. With safe neighborhoods and quality jobs, I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I've spent the last year walking through neighborhoods and learning about the issues Reading residents care most about. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhoods safe and strong.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Well, you know you make me want to shout, kick my heels up and shout, do my hands up and shout.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:34 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. The stream's working, but we have a little problems with the chat room. We just got a hold of our webmaster and shook him out of bed and told him, fix this. 54 degrees out there going up into the, it looks like, what, the 70s today? And
absolutely.
With rain.
66 degrees are high today. We love that. Mostly cloudy tonight with temperatures around 50. Partly sunny on Thursday, highs of 69, and partly cloudy with the lows around 51. So, again, get ready for your rain today. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show is brought to you by
Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy is going to teach. He teaches concealed carry, hunting safety, hunter safety classes through Northern Firearms Instruction. All of his instructors are professional NRA instructors, by the way. But what he's going to do is he's teaching a class where all proceeds are going to go to support Liberty on the Border, a Civil War exhibit at Turtle Bay. It's already opened last Saturday. The grand opening is going to be this Saturday. It's a great exhibit. It displays it depicts what happened before the Civil War itself, and the impact the Civil War has had on this country, even up to and including today. This class, which will cost $150, which is the same price as any class, all of the money, not just, you know, after expenses, but all the money will be donated to this exhibit. All the instructors are teaching for free for this weekend. And so not only will you get a class on concealed carry and on November 22nd and 23rd, you will also be able to write it off on your taxes and then get your name up on the wall under the KCNR umbrella that we're putting up there. Give him a call at 999-1822 or check out the website readingccw.com. All right. Jim Richards is with us. Jim, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Stand down.
Yes, it's that
this
time
is
again.
What is this? I keep wanting to say the
annual. How many
times?
Well, it's
the annual, but this is
ninth year.
The ninth annual stand down. 2014 here at Shasta District Fairgrounds. It's going to be inside Facero Hall and Trinity Hall, and registration starts at 8 a.m. on Thursday and Friday, and it's for all homeless veterans. A hand up, not a handout.
Yes, sir. We're not going to have the court this year, thanks to Mr. Jerry Brown, but cutting the budget. But we are making up with that. We have some therapy animals that are going to be there, horses and dogs. We also are going to have some legal people to give advice, legal advice, and we'll have, I believe right now we have 29 different agencies that are coming in.
Well, I can see here is that you've got job services and unemployment insurance information, the medical services, the County Veteran Service Officer, Bob Dunlap, will be there, Social Security, Women's Refuge. Shasta County, that would be one safe place is there, I imagine. Clothing and hygiene comfort kits, driver's license and identification information, drug and alcohol counseling, VA, event transportation, general assistance, all of these for those homeless veterans and their families. And you're finding a lot more of their families. Is that correct?
Yeah. We had 19 kids last year, I believe. And, that was 19 wives and I believe it was 7 kids.
How many people do you see during this week? It's because it's 3 days. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
You know, it varies. The people who go through there will be anywhere from 300 to up to probably 600, 500.
Wow. Now, when you set up out there, I know it's a military operation. including, you provide food for all, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yes,
sir. For everybody. And how do you do that?
Well, we have Sergeant Leedy from the National Guard. Well, he's retired now, but he has taken that over. And this year we got a treat. We got one of the Rotary Clubs that are going to come out and fix prime ribs barbecue out there. And then another night the Indians are going to be out there dancing and playing their drums and cooking salmon.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And do you have a mobile kitchen going on out there, or is it you're cooking it off something else?
We use the kitchen there now. Okay. We used to use the mobile kitchen from the Guard.
Right. Okay, you're helping anywhere from 300 to 600 men and women.
Yes.
And there's some, because we go out there, we'll run a remote from there Friday.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that you've brought people in there that have been helped, both men and women.
Oh, yeah.
Gone on to find jobs. This was that first step, and they've come back to help. Because they are on the road, they've got jobs, they didn't have to do this, but they came back to kind of share their story and to help you.
Yes, there are several of them. There's one gentleman here not too long ago, we had him, and he came up and he got his child support taken care of. He got custody there. He also got his retirement back. We had another gentleman there that had 20 teeth pulled. And still went out there and worked in the rain setting up tents and stuff. Now
20 teeth pulled at one time?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. Yeah, I would have to say.
And 20 teeth.
He went out
of course,
there.
Either that or they were just hanging in there. So
yeah, he was working. Help, he might have had some number there.
Yeah. No, just here's a pair of pliers. Just take these ones out.
He had worked there all day, and after that, he went off, and we seen him the next year, and he wound up being an officer with the VFW, and he has gotten married and has a job.
Cool. You know what? Those are great stories. And this is what everybody needs to understand is that you're there to help people. You're not just there to give them stuff. It's to help them move on with their lives. Now, how can people and you always could use donations.
We can always use donations. We need it bad this year.
What do you need?
We need money, and we also need volunteers to come down and help. On the morning of the 22nd, we're going to start loading up things when we need trucks and trailers to come down and help us transport the stuff from the storage sheds to the fairgrounds, and if they can help set up. We have a couple different agencies. CCC is going to be there to help, and several others to help us set up and get ready. It's a big effort, and we need some manpower. We need manpower for guard there. We're low this year on personnel to do a four-hour shift of guard down there, and we could use some people to come in and help with the registration, tent monitors, people that come there and stay there for a few hours and watch the people and take them to places where they need to go. And we need some people to escort people around.
Well, there's so main thing you need is people.
Yes,
it looks like. So how do they get a hold of you to do this?
They get a hold of me on my phone, and that phone number will be 530-356-0342.
Okay, so if you can help, I got a chance to help move stuff out there on the 22nd, to be there to act as monitors, to walk around in security. I mean, insecurity is not where you have to get into fights or anything like this.
No.
You're just there to walk around, is to make sure everything's okay. And if something does happen, is to call the appropriate authorities, the leadership of the stand down.
Yes. We have some police officers that come and donate their time that help us with the security and so on. We have a great bunch of people that do the security, and we haven't had any incidents there that we couldn't handle. Talk to them and get it worked out there.
That's great. Okay. The North Valley Stand Down Association is going to be this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll be down there Friday with remote running for all homeless veterans and their families. And a hand up, not a handout. At the Shasta District Fairgrounds, inside Facero Hall and Trinity Hall, all types of things are happening. But they need some help out there. They need some boots on the ground here.
Boots on the ground.
And so give a call to Jim at 356-0342, 356-0342, and ask how you can help out.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I thank you, sir.
You bet. We thank you. This is a... I've seen watch this grow, and the types of things that that y'all have done, or the amount of good y'all have done for our homeless veterans. I mean, this comes out of the heart. You know, nobody gets anything. Nobody's being paid.
No, there's not one
there.
Penny.
That's right. And you also need money too.
Yes,
right?
We need
okay.
money.
Okay, so you can get a hold of the North Valley Stand Down Association and Jim at 530-356-0342. Thanks a lot for being here. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, you're one of those people that just is you. We talk about Reading, and sometimes we forget when there's all these things are going on that we have people like Jim here, and many, many, many others like Jim that have taken this to say, I'm going to help. I'm not going to get anything out of this. This is really a pain in my derriere to do this. I work my butt off, and I get out of this the fact that, yeah, maybe we helped people. Maybe we've changed lives here. And it's not just with the veterans. It's with other issues, One Safe Place and Good News Rescue Mission and so many others. But you all concentrate on veterans, and it's It's you are one of the reasons that Linda and I are here.
Thank you.
No, it's true.
There's a some healing on the other side too of the volunteers that come there. Some have had lost sons and daughters and over there, and they have come there to be a part of it, to donate their time,
yeah.
And it's really helped them, and they've come back every year.
That's wonderful.
And that's some of the payback that you get. It's good for the heart and good for the soul down there.
Right. It's
and
good for
I,
both sides.
I recommend everybody, all you military guys, get up off your duffs and come on down and be a part of it.
And if you don't do anything else, just go on down and see it. Get a tour through here.
Yes.
And then donate. All right. We'll be right back. Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460.
Up on the stage, here I go. Playing star again, there I go. Turn the page.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Redding City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up. There are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Redding need a fresh, new voice on the city council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Redding City Council 2014.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Redding. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Trust, follow through, integrity. These are words voters are using to describe Assemblyman Brian Daly.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
Our voice counts with Brian. Our votes count with Brian. He will represent us.
Because of Brian's leadership in the state assembly, he's received a 100% rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Brian helped pass legislation to support rural schools, and he worked hard to pass a bill that reduces wildfire hazard while putting people back to work in our forests. That's called leadership.
He will do what he says he's going to do.
He's a guy that you can trust every day. He's going to work hard. He's going to work relentlessly hard.
The choice is clear. Send a farmer, a leader with North State common sense values, back to Sacramento. Re-elect Brian Daly to the California Assembly.
I will vote for Brian Daly.
I'm voting for Brian Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Daly for Assembly, 2014.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Redding City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens, and this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Redding City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, my friends. It is 7:48 in the morning. 54 degrees out there. It's going to be in the 60s today. because it's going to be rainy.
Chance of showers, 50% chance of showers. It's currently 56 degrees, and it's going to be about 66 today. This portion of the show is brought to you by
Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new rifle or pistol, John Bastiani. When you hear that, you hear customer service. He also has ammo and guns that other people don't have. He has them on sale. He will never raise the prices. He will give you he will give a very, very small markup over ammo just to be able to make sure that all of his customers are served. Give him a call at 222-8222. 222-8222 or stop by 2539 of Larkspur. And I just shot one of the rifles he sold to me yesterday and that he built himself. And it is at 200 yards. It covers you can cover the rounds, the holes, with a 50-cent piece.
Oh.
That's at 100 yards. And I started giggling, and that was kind of wasn't set up in a vice to shoot. This is also a modern sporting arms rifle, otherwise known as a assault rifle.
Can I make another quick announcement here? This came in from Irwin Fust. I wanted to let you know that the Reading EAA and the 99s are having another Young Eagles flying event on Saturday, October 18th at Benton Airfield. So we're making that announcement that kids get to fly free at the Young Eagles event. That's, of course, the 18th. Local pilot members of North EAA are going to invite kids 8 to 17 to bring a parent or guardian and come for a Young Eagle flight. Hillside Aviation at Benton Air Park between 8:30 a.m. and 9 o'clock a.m. Sign up for your ride. First come, first served. This is a blast. It's going to teach about aviation, and I think that's a really cool thing that they take you up in the air and get to. I think some of they even like let you fly the plane while the pilots.
Well,
there,
I don't know
like
about
that.
We don't. But you do get to ride in the plane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I believe the youngster gets a chance to actually put their hands on the controls
under
the watchful eye.
Thank you.
I'm thinking that's probably
no,
what it
there's
is.
Not a 7-year-old flying around.
As you're flying upside down as you're coming across. Hey, let's talk. Okay, here's what I want to talk
let
about.
Let it rip.
Politics. And it's not ripping. It's just politics and running. Again, as I talked about earlier, this isn't Chicago. This isn't New York. This is not running for some hotly contested Senate race in Massachusetts or Wisconsin. This is politics in Reading. And these are people that are going out to serve, that have served our community or are running to serve our community. And I just am seeing things. The first one, Weaver, when the article came out in the Shastron Lantern about did he or didn't he? And now it's being investigated. Now it's either is it just smoke or is there a little fire in there? I'm not sure. According to Brent Weaver, there is just smoke there. They were told what to do. According to Red Smith, who wrote it, said, well, you know what? That's not what they're saying from the other side. The other side is saying he should have done this. And what it all comes down to is putting the names of donors, which Weaver has released since then, of course, and he said it that day on the show, that it's a he said they were told to do it that way. So it comes down to the fact is, should he have put the donors' names on this list? And now it's a he said, she said. But it's going to take him a couple of weeks to figure that out. And then in the last couple of days, the big things has been Patrick Jones and the Reading Peace Officers Association. It was sent to me the other night, and the ad used our show as a springboard to say that Jones was lying. What it was we were interviewing Chief Rob Paletti, and somebody called in. As I realize now, is that the question was carefully framed, and it was. In the answer, and he said, "Has Jones been meeting with you regularly?" What Paletti said was he said, "No, we haven't." But, and he said, "I've canceled a meeting. He's canceled a meeting." Have they been trying to do it? Was the attempts there? According to Rob Paletti, it was. That's not what the ad said. The ad ended, "We haven't," right then. Now, what's my problem with this? And my concern that they used our show and all that. No, but it kind of gets us involved in this, but it's not. You know, we don't, if people ask us for permission, which they didn't, to use any of the excerpts of our show, it's fine. And I'm sure people use it without asking our permission. It's not a, you know, it's not, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that you would take a whole answer and you just cut off the part. And you're saying it's, you know, it's misleading the way it was left, you know, the way it was left there. And I frankly expect more. And I realize it's the union of, you know, Reading Peace Officers Association, but I, you know, we've supported police here. We support, I know the guys in this thing. I mean, you know, they're good guys. But when I see this, it bothers me because they're saying Jones lied. Yet they are doing the, they're doing the same thing by omitting that last part. And then since then, it's gotten into the paper and the paper says, you know, that, you know, he said, you know, and, they asked Poletti, it was in the paper, but then Channel 7 this morning, was talking. You did not hear Poletti say a word, but the girl that was reporting says Poletti said used the word lie. Poletti said he lied. I know Rob Poletti. I've talked to Rob Poletti. He didn't use the word lie. He would not use the word lie. He would tell the truth. We tried to do it. We had a meeting. We had another meeting after, you know, they just had a meeting last week. We had two others canceled with what was going on either with the chief or the campaign. Is it something, did he use the word lie? I will call Rob Poletti today, but I guarantee you he never used that word.
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, and in fact, getting in the middle of this is not something that he probably wants to do. But I'm sure he explained it. So the use of that word is pejorative, and from people that said, you know, you want the truth, and here, if he said it, I'll just eat all these words. I mean, I'll just say, hey, I was wrong. He did use that word, but I don't believe he did. I don't believe that Chief Poletti would use that word. The other thing too is it when it gets down to it, it was doing the right thing and being, you know what, let people give people the whole story. RPOA, give them the whole story. People are going to be smart enough to understand it. You don't have to cut things out. The rest of your story about running two times, I don't care. I'm not here to protect Jones. Jones can protect himself. I'm here because I think that we are doing what we condemn other people for, and that is cutting off parts, editing it the way that you want it to sound when it doesn't, when that was not the whole story. That's wrong. I wrote to the RPOA, never heard from them. Steve Allen and I talked, who is the head of the union, and we haven't finished talking yet. But I just think that if you're going to do this, that you need to be honest about it. And let's just say, let the people decide. Now, the latest one, DeQuisto, slammed by Reading Library backer from something that happened 14 years ago, and nothing was set up until right now, and now it's on the editorial page. What, Bob? You're sitting over there just frothing.
We're sliding into sleaze politics in our town, and I mean, it's bad enough that the crime is up, but
this one made
do
me,
we need this?
This one made me cringe because, you know, of course, Carl and I...
Is this what we've come
well, this,
to?
Well, this
we
one
support
says,
the library. I just hate this inner... Yeah,
well, this is from a woman that says that from the latter half of 1997 to the first half of 1995, excuse me, that was 1997 to 99, and you're writing letters now, and she supports Francis Sullivan. She said that. And the part about it, I think, I don't know if they had a anything in here from, oh, no, because that would be a letter. But the Quisto slam by Reading, they asked him about this, and he says that he questioned her timing in describing her claim as petty. And he stands by his observations that he penned during his two-year tenure from 1970 to 99, which were to promote the library system's benefit to the public over personnel issues. She said she's bringing up the past because she's concerned about now. 97 to 99. Frankly, I'm not sure where I was in 97.
Timing is everything.
But here's the whole thing is this. Do we need to – and hit in front page again, and it's on the editorial page.
Half, super politics.
Half truths, omitting things, editing things.
Cherry picking data.
You know, and under that, you know, they thought, where's the integrity? Well, where is the integrity? Integrity needs to be on both sides there. Both the people that have got a bone to pick and the other side.
Okay, is this not politics at its best, Carl? We have 1 minute left until the end of the program. Love to hear from you.
Until 8 o'clock.
Our listeners, what do you guys
think? The sheriff's
think?
Coming in right after
oh,
this.
Well, of course he's going to be smack in the middle of all of this. 260-545-5567. You know, it's politics at its nastiness, the underbelly of it that makes you have the ick.
But it is, you know what, we're using, we're calling for people to be in, you know, to have integrity that's running for office. We need both sides that are attacking also to have integrity. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Texas health officials say a preliminary test on a second health worker has come back positive for Ebola. Dr. Daniel Varga of the Texas Health Resources Center.
A lot is being said about what may or may not have occurred to cause some of our colleagues to contract this disease. But it's clear there was an exposure somewhere, sometime, in their treatment of Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Duncan, that is the man from Liberia who brought Ebola into the country. And now Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says it would not be a surprise if other health care workers came down with Ebola.
We have a situation involving 77 people, two of which have tested positive for Ebola. We are preparing contingencies for more, and that is a very real possibility.
Also at SRNnews.com, new poll numbers are signaling trouble for President Obama and the Democrats heading into the midterm elections. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
President Obama's job approval rating has dropped to 40%, the lowest it's ever been in the ABC News Washington Post poll. According to the survey, favorable ratings for the Democratic Party are at a 30-year low. Republicans don't receive high marks either, but the poll indicates that GOP voters are more likely than Democrats to vote in the November elections. Greg Clugston, SRN News, Washington.
Forecasters say Gonzalo has blown into a major hurricane in the Caribbean, churning up heavy surf as it gets closer and closer to Bermuda.
Gonzalo has strengthened during the past 24 hours. It's now a Category 3 hurricane with maximum winds of 125 miles per hour.
That's Dan Brown, a senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center in Miami. On Wall Street, a big struggle so far for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. By now, it is down more than 200 points. This is SRN News.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
At Mathnasium Learning Centers, we make math make sense. Your child will leap ahead. Whether they start out way behind or already ahead, it's how we've grown to more than 500 franchise locations. More at mathnasium.com or call for a free parent pack, 844-799-5999. Learn what Mathnasium can do for your child, 844-799-5999. Mathnasium. We make math make sense.
Hong Kong's security chief says some police officers who were captured are kicking a democracy protester like the people you hear here. During an operation, clear demonstrators from a tunnel have now been reassigned. The Secretary for Security said this afternoon, local time, that the officers were moved to other posts and that the police department is carrying out its own investigation. Australia's Prime Minister says that special forces sent to Iraq have not been able to enter the country yet because the Iraqi government has not provided the legal safeguards that Australia deems to be necessary. Prime Minister Tony Abbott.
We think it's only right and proper when we are there to help the people of Iraq, to help the government of Iraq, that we can go in on the same kind of legal basis as the Americans.
And Abbott says that all his country wants is the same safeguards American troops enjoyed when they were in Iraq. This is SRN News. A cousin of Reva Steenkamp, among those testifying for the prosecution in Oscar Pistorius' sentencing hearing. Meanwhile, State Prosecutor Harry Nell telling the trial judge that Pistorius should go to prison for killing his girlfriend, even if it was not first-degree murder.
Madam...
You have to agree with me, madam, that society demands that if you kill somebody, that there should be a harsh punishment.
Pistorius has always claimed it was an accident. He was convicted of culpable homicide, negligent killing. The National Weather Service says Anna will be hitting Hawaii sometime this weekend.
Reaching the Big Island on Saturday morning, moving south of Maui and Oahu by Sunday morning, and south of Oahu Sunday afternoon.
National Weather Service forecaster Chris Brinchley. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Somehow you're sound like your battery just went dead.
No, it wasn't me. It was don't even talk about my Harley and the battery.
That's why I always jostling you, hon.
I know. Hey, good morning.
Carl, welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM.
8:06 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Of course, we're here with Bad Bob, and our sheriff, Tom Basenko, is with us. Before we get into anything, I misspoke, and Linda, I was talking at the end there, and I talked about the Reading Peace Officers Association and an ad they ran and how that and other things I'm seeing here is kind of striking me as being just a little bit over the top, you know, for our city. But one of the things I said is Steve Allen and I'd been emailing back and forth or messaging or leaving messages on each other's phones. And I said that he was the president of the union, which is absolutely not true. Brad LaCroix is. Steve is the union negotiator and works in that sense.
In that capacity.
In that capacity. Mm-hmm. He is not that. So
Clarification.
There.
All right, let's
no
go to the weather.
No apology.
Let's stick Dante on you. Currently 53 degrees in the
downtown. Have you seen his dog?
He's got a dog that's the size of a mini horse.
His dog barked at me one time from inside his car, and I threw him my wallet.
Okay, let's go to the weather real fast because Sheriff is here, and we value every second we have with this guy. Currently 54 degrees, chance of showers today with temperatures around 66 on this beautiful Wednesday. Tonight looks like we're going to have mostly cloudy with temperatures around 50. Let's just go by today's temperature, and later on we can give you a detailed forecast throughout the week. As the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Pretty soon we're going to have to go into it's warm. our customers are warm friends. You know, we change it up for the temperature, but we're not quite there yet. So it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give Shasta Gas Propane a call at 365-3793.
All right. Our guest is Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basenko, who is a mufti today, as we used to say in the military.
What's the word?
Mufti.
Mufti.
Which is?
Let me look that one up.
No, yeah. That was meant you were out of uniform. You were in mufti. You were in civilian clothes.
Oh. One of the few days that I'm in civvies.
That's right. Look it up.
Mufti. Civvies, I get mufti.
It is.
Yeah, mufti. I've never heard of that one. I prefer civvies.
Me too. Mufti.
Oh, either that or it's a term I learned in a foreign term I learned.
Yes, I'm going to look it up here.
Okay.
At some point, I'm going to tell you about the words I thought meant stand back in Iraqi, which weren't.
Urban Dictionary. The day at school when students are allowed to wear their own casual clothes as opposed to the regulated school uniforms. Mufti Day.
Okay, and as Carl is beaming, I told you so. Look,
I know what mufti means. I mean, it's,
we had to look it up. I may not
know what causes Ebola, but I know that. Okay, Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? Where are you off? You're off to someplace.
Have some meetings today that was more of a civilian attire than uniform attire. So,
big article, not big. It was, in fact, an article in the paper. I see you standing there. You were with Chief Paletti, at the Reading Crime Watch,
right,
right. Watch. And one of the thing that one of the big parts that came out of this is that it looks like in the future here, it's going to be instituted, is that the Reading police are not going to be able to handle all the calls, and they're going to tell people that when their people call for assistance.
Not surprising with the lack of staffing, reduction in staffing over the years, especially since about 2008 or 9 when we had hit the recession at the sheriff's office. We had more people working the streets in the 1990s than we do right now. And we had more people in the organization than we do right now. And I know,
and less people.
Less people working, more people, bigger population.
I meant less population.
Less population back then as compared
and
to
no
now.
And no AB 109.
No AB 109. And less crime back then, too, per capita. And I know that Chief Paletti is in the exact same situation because we've had this discussion in comparison. Plus, we each have vacancies due to people being out on injury and things like that. That's
so
all
like
part
12,
of
12 off
for him. It's about 12.
How about you?
We have less that are out on OJI, or we call it OJI, on the job injury, but we still do have people that are out on injuries and or other leaves because they can't work, maybe due to limited duty if they're pregnant or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to run somebody down if you're like 7 months pregnant, huh?
Well, too, or if they're working in the jail because they have inmate exposure and different things, so you have to watch out for that in the interest of the employee as well and their child.
I tell you, your correctional officers, that tour I had through the jail was it was eye opening, and it was their dedication and what they go through.
You know,
anytime I get a chance, I tell people about it.
Well, we give an annual tour to the grand jury too, because that's part of their job to inspect the jail and see what's going on. But recently, we gave a tour to a group of citizens that are very much want to help out the community. And her name is April LaFrance. She's involved in the Crime Watch as well, and she's helping out, looking into things for Chief Paletti to, hey, how can we, the citizens, also look into things and do some research for you. Help come up with maybe some answers or at least some information to help out. And so April and some of her people came through, gave them a great big tour of the jail and say, hey, here's where we were in years past. Here's where we are now due to prison realignment. And then here's the needs for the future. And some of the things we're facing, like Prop 47, which you've heard a little bit about.
Right.
And we'll cover that in a little bit.
All right. Now, I want to take an early break so we can get into all this, because I want to talk about 47. I want to talk about A.
Right.
I want to talk about Measure F.
So we'll go through the alphabet.
We'll go through the alphabet. Plus, I know you've got a couple other things to talk about.
You bet.
Incarceration. I know you listen to us all the time, that you probably heard Rick Bassetti the other day about incarceration, how that money could be used.
Yeah.
He kind of like... It kind of changed a little bit there to the good, I think. We'll be right back. Sheriff Tom Bassetti, or Tom Basenko is our...
That's happened
before. Bassetti, Basenko, you know, all these...
All of them.
You know,
we'll be back.
All these...
Are you going to take us to break? Go ahead. Get it off your chest. No sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust.
At Cypher Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer, not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypher Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wind River. And it's 54 degrees in the downtown studios.
So Wind River in what?
Wind River Hotel and Casino. And I want to tell you that on the first Thursday of November, I think that's November 6th.
Uh-huh.
Come out and check Ladybot and the Bluebirds. We'll be there from 7 to 9. And, of course, they are calling it Romance on the River. So when you call and make reservations, which I would recommend, we had a great crowd the first the kickoff in October. I know that those people liked it so much they were going to bring their friends. Very reasonable, wonderful food. Everybody was very complimentary over the filet mignon and the music. There were strangers dancing, and it was wonderful to see couples. It is a really nice night where they bring out the tablecloths and the candlelight and dim the lights and turn it into what we're trying to do, a throwback lounge era of it's something that we don't have here in the North State. We're creating it, and Wind River is working alongside of us. So come out and join us on November 6th from at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., but make your reservations early.
You know, one of the things that we're talking about is Liberty on the Border and how KCNR is acting as an umbrella to help support this great exhibit. And we wanted to kind of let people know who is helping with this so far. And it was Pugh and Van Vorse, a law firm, Judy Maxwell, Mike and Bertha Michalak from the Fly Shop, Rick and Lori Goines, Kelly and Norm Verhoog, Bonnie and Jim Sharp, Leonard Silverman from Four Winds Jewelry, Kristen Schrader, Trish Clark, our one and only sheriff here too. He's, you know what? As soon as he said it, you know, he plunked down money. Don Shulman, Frank Strazzarino, from the Chamber of Commerce, and there's a couple more as we're coming through, but we're going to keep talking about it, you know, and thanking people like this because we've raised a good amount of money so far, and we still got a ways to go. But Ted Lighty, who is teaching a class, for all the proceeds, mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. goes to the event. Anyway, going back to our sheriff. Okay, let's start with let's just start at the beginning.
Okay,
how about
That's
Measure
a good place
A
to start from?
Measure A.
Measure A will be on November 4th ballot, and what Measure A is, should the voters approve some additional restrictions that the county board of supervisors put on a medical marijuana land use ordinance. And they put additional limitations on that. And what it is that you can no longer grow medical marijuana outdoors. It has to be grown indoors in a detached accessory building, which is a barn, shop, garage, greenhouse. And if you use electric or water, you have to have a permit for those to be within the building code, and the structure needs to be within building code. The land must have a residence on it, a legal residence, so you just can't have a tent or plop some RV that you towed there.
Right.
And you have to be the patients that are going to be growing
there. So it's got to be, if you're going to grow it there, you've got to be able to, if that's yours, you're going to be growing. How about the part about being able to, I thought a part two was to scrub the air so that you don't get any smell.
The building has to have some type of filtration device on it to filter out the noxious odors from marijuana, because a lot of times these places are right next door to other people, mm-hmm. and they can't use their backyard, their deck, because around harvest time, the odors are very pungent from the marijuana plant. And some people find that offensive. And so it has to have some type of carbon filter device.
Now, Measure A, what it says is the Board of Supervisors voted to outlaw, severely restrict outdoor grows, as we just said. There was enough votes put on an initiative to have it up here as Proposition A, Measure A.
Some pro-marijuana people went and collected enough votes to put it on the ballot to give it to the voters.
So here the thing is this. If you vote yes on A, you uphold the Board of Supervisors' restrictions.
Yes, you want those additional restrictions.
Right. If you vote no, means that you essentially take off all restrictions for growing.
No. The existing ordinance would still be in effect,
okay,
which allows outdoor growing anywhere from 100 square feet of growing space if you have less than 2 acres, up to 360 square feet of growing space if you have over 20 acres.
Well, we know that –
but nobody's in compliance.
Yeah, nobody's in compliance. And that goes to the other thing is we see where you'll take out thousands of plants at a time. Mm-hmm. But that really, if somebody's got 100 plants or 150 plants, you don't go after them.
Not necessarily. It depends on that 100, 150 plants when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
If they're in compliance with the ordinance, we don't have a problem with that. Or if they're legitimate medical marijuana users, but maybe not in compliance with the ordinance, that's left to the building department then. Let's say they didn't have a fence up. Then that they're in violation of the ordinance, but they're medical marijuana users.
Then county has to go out and look at it.
Yes.
And now it's code enforcement.
Yes.
But is there a certain height?
Yes. In the ordinance, it cannot be above the solid fence. So a fence made out of tarp, plastic, all that other stuff is not a legitimate fence. But you have to put up a 6-foot wooden fence that has a lockable gate. If the plants are above that, which oftentimes they are, they're in violation of the ordinance.
Does Measure A, this comes in from the chat room, does Measure A apply in incorporated city limits?
No. The incorporated cities of Anderson, Redding, and the city of Shasta Lake are their own government entities. And as such, they can enact their own ordinances. So it does not apply to the incorporated cities.
Okay. Now, you obviously support this, Measure
yes.
A.
Yes,
so,
I do.
Yes on A. We've got the other guys coming in for no on A. We've been playing phone tag there. We'll have them on to talk about it. Also, why they think that this is a bad idea. But I know that they've said is that it would take you would have to build thousands of dollars worth of stuff on your property just to be able to grow 6 plants. People can come in and just, don't they say, search your house?
That's wrong.
Okay.
That's misinformation. They're claiming that you can just come and do warrantless searches. You can't do that. You have the Fourth Amendment protections and many court decisions in regards to searches. So you still have to be legal on the way you search.
Okay. So you can't just, but if you saw something as you're walking by and you see it's violating the law, I mean.
You can't go do a warrantless search.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't allow you unless you have consent of the person that has
right. So
standing.
If you saw a bunch, say you go over to Bob's house and there you see somebody's got like 100 plants there and you can mm-hmm. see it above the fence line, that's enough for you to – now, do you have to get a warrant then?
No. You can knock on the door. Hey,
I see you have
plants above there. Can you tell us about them? And they could say, hey, go jump in a lake. Or, yeah, we're
and
a medical marijuana.
And at that point, you just say, thank you very much, and you turn around
or
and you get
a warrant.
Or they
could say, hey, I'm a medical marijuana patient.
Okay.
Here's my recommendations. And then we can ask further questions from there. So they may or may not want to talk to us. And if they don't, then we can get an inspection warrant and go look from there.
Can you clarify one more time for, we throw around the recommendation and a 215. What exactly is the 215 and the recommendation for the average person? Is it 2 plants, 4 plants?
It depends. That's a legal definition.
Okay.
It depends on what the physician
Harvard
issuing the recommendation to the patient is. The patient could say, hey, I think you need X amount of ounces per day, per week, per month.
Okay.
And then that has to equate out to how many plants you may need.
Okay.
And then it depends on how you also use the plant. It could be in vegetative form. You could smoke it. You could
bathe in it.
Eat in it. You could bathe in it. You could make oils from it, like a salve, so to speak, a cream. You can make
a
butter.
Is that what they call cooking it down, and that's dangerous or something?
It depends on the method of butane honey oil. Butane honey oil is illegal, and that's the same as the same in criminal offense-wise as a methamphetamine lab.
I found this very amusing the other day when I was reading about Colorado, which has legalized it, and they've got like stores that sell cookies and all types
edibles.
Of stuff. They've had to make tourist cookies because people are coming in that are not experienced with marijuana, you might say, and the cookies were so powerful they were just staggering around the around the street. So they call them tourist cookies, where it's got a very light amount of marijuana in
so
the
cookie.
So you
have edibles, you have salves
What's
and
that
oils
tell you?
And creams. You can have butter. Where they mix in the oils into the butter. You can have jellies and different types, and you can ingest it in different ways.
I hope that was jalapeno jelly. I was
rather than smoking it, you're
smoking isn't the only way
you can get it into your body.
And get it into your body. That's correct. There are a number of ways.
All right. Okay. So that's measure A.
Measure A.
Do you have a dog in a fight in B?
No.
Okay. Measure F.
Measure F. Measure F is a. A measure on the November 4th ballot that was proposed by the Reading City Council to let the voters choose if they're going to enact a quarter cent sales tax for
0.25%
or a quarter cent.
Right.
So it'll be $2.50 on the hundred, $2.50 on the $100, $25 on the thousand. So
we could keep going with
right.
2.5 million on
It's estimated that it could bring in about $5 million per year based on what sales tax is doing now, and that would be dedicated for part for the Reading Police Department, for staff to combat crime and build back up, and then also they put on there that it can be used to go to the sheriff's office to help house inmates out of county in our contract beds, or expand our GPS program.
The part about and the GPS program.
When, that's the ankle bracelets.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Rick Bassetti was on here the other day talking about this and saying how we can, to put more people on the work release and all these, and then moving more people out of the county, moving them everywhere they can. But these are only ones that are have been found guilty and
been sentenced. That's correct.
One of the things that you've been saying from the very beginning is that you need a place to be able to lock these people up when you arrest them and hold them until they get to court.
Yeah, that's called pretrial.
Pretrial. Yeah. And I asked Rick Bassetti, can that money be used for that? Because I didn't see that in there. And that was the one part about that measure that I had a problem with, that how are we going to lock these guys up once we catch them? Because – yeah, we can send 69 away, or let's just say 70. So you replace them with 70 the first day, and now we're filled up again.
Of course.
So you have been saying from the very beginning, I need a place to lock up 200 people.
At least. For pretrial beds. Right. And I can't ship pretrial people out of county. The lawyers, both public defender, any defense attorneys, and the district attorney's office would throw a fit in that they would not have access to the defendant if they're incarcerated out of county. And so that could cause an issue in court. The judges and the courts would be concerned because that could also throw a reason that the defense attorney could say, hey, I've not had access to my defendant to properly prepare my case, and so I need either extensions, or it could cause a reason for the case to get thrown out.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. First, Coach Bob is on the chat room, and Coach Bob, Linda, and I both want to say thank you very much for you're on your way down to the VA home to entertain the troops down there.
Oh, and guess who's going to be my special guest?
On November 6th.
On November 6th.
Playing that trumpet.
Playing that trumpet.
Coach
that
Bob.
It's almost like a flugelhorn. I love it when he mutes it. I am so excited to have Coach Bob. He's a great American.
He is, and he says his question is, I think Measure A is unwelcome. I'm not sorry. This is from somebody else, not Coach Bob. It's unwelcome solely for the reasons that is justification for the Board of Supervisors to tell private property owners what they can use their private property for.
And that happens all the time in government, in that they tell you where you can build a house. It has to be in residential areas, or where you can put a business, or an industrial business, commercial business.
And you don't
That's
want
part
a,
of land use.
Yeah, they're not going to use the house next door to build a factory that makes plastics.
Exactly. No. So that's very common throughout society nationwide.
And then we had the answer from Bad Bob here. I have people who rent the property on an adjacent parcel. It is harvest time, and the stink of that damn weed interferes with my quality of life.
That's exactly right, because others are impacted as well, and that's why we have land use ordinances and general plans in all of our cities and counties throughout the state.
Yeah, I love this chat room. Others are saying, why would people at the top of administrations take raises when we need more cops on the street? I thought that was interesting. We'll be right back with Sheriff Tom Basinko, Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. If you're thinking about it, give us a call, 605-4567. Ask the sheriff a question.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Redding City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the City Council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past 2 years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Work it quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip and zip it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. It is Wednesday, October the 15th, 8:33 in the morning, 54 degrees out there. It looks like we have rain today.
Sheriff just broke my eardrum. Sorry about that.
We're here with Sheriff Thomas Sinkel. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans, a great place to go to get a haircut. That's where I go. That's where Bad Bob goes.
Looks like it's almost haircut time.
It's almost haircut time for me. That's where a lot of our police and sheriff's deputies go to. A lot of people go there to get their haircut. It's a great place. The Cheers of barbershops. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Okay, Tom Basenko, Shasta County Sheriff, is our guest. Okay, we've gone into a measure A. Now, F is, again, the raising of the taxes. And I saw something in there that one of the comments, sheriffs for raising taxes. And I thought, well, you know what, this is, I don't know, you didn't say if you're for or against this.
If it passed, the sheriff's office would benefit in that a portion of that, and they would have, they, the Reading City Council and the Board of Supervisors would have to come up with an agreement and decide how much of the money that the sheriff's office would receive. So we would benefit, if it passes, in that it could go to housing inmates out of county, expanding our ankle bracelet GPS monitoring for offender accountability. So it would benefit us. I haven't said yes, haven't said no. I just said that, yes, the sheriff's office would benefit from it.
Okay, and it would. And correct. So would our police.
And then after this facility is open, the 1022 facility, uh-huh, the Adult Rehabilitative Center, the portion of that money could also probably go towards operational costs for that. Most of the inmates that are in the criminal justice system here in Shasta County that are going to court are from arrests from the City of Reading Police Department. They do a very good job. They're the largest police agency in the town and in our county center where the county seat is, and they do the majority of the rest as compared to all the other law enforcement agencies.
Well, here's the thing that was kind of a surprise to me, and I said, well, you can use this money for anything. No, you can't. But the other thing was I said, for raises. No. He said it cannot be used for raises. It cannot be used for anything else but hiring new police and the CSOs and incarceration, just what it says. It can't be used. See, I thought, well, once you get the money, it could be used for anything that has to do with the police.
That measure has some very specific wording on what it can be used for.
People need to know that, because people immediately think, oh, they're just going to get raises, and it's going to be the guys are here already, and we're going to end up with no more police.
And that's why they purposely worded it like that.
And that's why we want to make sure that word
and that has out. It has a very steep hill to climb, because it has to be approved, since it's worded very specifically. It has to be approved with a 66 2/3%
Isn't it funny how there's four against it of the six that are running for city council and two for it? And the two that are for it are women. I'm just saying this, but I hear all different types of things. Is that they believe there should be more safety? It could be this or that. It could be because they're both Democrats. I'm not sure, but it's.
We also know that this recession for the entire state of California has been very, very slow to recover. And then in the North State here, we're usually 2 to 5 years behind the metropolitan areas on recovery, because the metropolitan areas see the recovery first. And so this recession that we're clawing our way out of is going to be a very slow climb. Yeah. And so then how do you get other services, especially public safety services, expanded without the revenues coming in?
You can't. And we have to do something.
Or
and
reprioritization of the existing resources.
Well, now, and there's the battle.
There's a whole other issue there.
Which is another battle going on right there. And, I mean, to the point where we have really nice people calling each other liars and in public, which goes back to my original statements from earlier. Okay.
I have a quick question for the sheriff, because I think of, we're in political season right now. And, of course, I'm wondering for you, a gentleman in your position, being the sheriff of Shasta County, at this time, do you feel there's maybe a conflict with you really want to be boots on the ground to be sheriff and handle a lot of things, but you're pulled in the political aspect of people wanting to have conversations all the time.
That's okay. To me, it's all part of the job. I do get I do get pulled into the politics of it. I had someone call me on another measure that's on the ballot and wanted to know if I would endorse it. And I said, well, number one, I don't know enough about it, so you're going to have to send me some information. And then I usually look for, is there a nexus for the sheriff's office or for the betterment of the county? And so if it's no, generally I won't endorse something. So I'm very cautious of what I put my name to or other candidates that I put my name to as well.
Well, we do too. We don't endorse. We didn't even. I think we might have endorsed you because nobody ran against you
at this time.
just keep watch out though. is that we don't endorse city council or board of supervisors because, frankly, and this is from both of us believe this is we value the fact these people want to run. And they're running for the right reasons.
And plus your media. You do have to have an unbiased approach. Otherwise, you have to get everybody equal access to the station as well.
And we try to have everybody on. And, in fact, the other day a man that I did not know stopped me and said, and in fact, we've heard this many times, is how much they appreciate that everybody's been on and everybody gets a fair shot here. And we're going to do it again here at the end of the month. So you have everybody back on one more time before the election.
And that's part of good journalism is being fair and unbiased and balanced to just put out the information and let people decide.
And we're not – I mean and we're not perfect. So there's times that, you know, when I go on to one of my diatribes that, you know, I may lean on – but we never try to say that this person's bad or this person's a liar or whatever it is. Okay. We've talked about F – and now we want to talk about 47.
Prop 47 is a state.
This is absolutely scary to me.
It is, very much so. Prop 47 is a statewide initiative that you'll see on the ballot on November 4th as well. Prop 47 is disguised and deceitful in its title that says Safe Schools and Neighborhood Act or Safe Neighborhood and Schools Act. And what it does by the proponents of the initiative, it could release up to 10,000 inmates from prison that are in there right now. It changes a whole bunch of the laws that are currently felonies and changes them to misdemeanors. Okay, so what's the problem with that? People won't go back to prison, so where do they go if they're arrested and then later convicted of a misdemeanor? They go to jail. What's the problem with that? We got full jails up and down the state. Our jail's full right now. And LA's we're already
full,
dealing with
San Diego's
the impacts
right.
of prison realignment. It reduces drug crimes, such as the felonies for possession of methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, LSD.
And the ones that usually go to jail for these are usually ones that we're not talking about slightly over the minimum. We're talking about people that are trafficking in it. Is that right?
Simple possession of those drugs is a felony. But first-time offenders go to drug court. If they get their charges reduced or dismissed anyway. But we're talking habitual users and traffickers and dealers. It reduces the
Did you say date rape too, right?
Date rape drug, GHB, reduces it from a felony to a misdemeanor.
So somebody used that to rape a young woman?
The rape would be
a felony.
Well,
the rape would still be the felony. Okay.
But if they use the date rape drug or are in possession of it, that becomes a misdemeanor. This is crazy. If you steal a gun, right now, any gun, whether it's worth $1 or $1,000, if you steal a gun, it's a felony. Under this initiative, if it passes, it would become a misdemeanor if the gun is valued at $950 or less. So then which many guns are. It takes a pretty high-quality gun to get to $950 greater.
Not the mini gun I have that shoots 8,000 rounds a second. But not that mini gun.
Not that mini gun.
But this is just indicative of what this proposition will do.
It's also a retroactive law. So people that are in prison now could go and petition the court to say, hey, I want my case reviewed so I can be resentenced. And then that causes, they estimate that it'll cause another 40,000 people to go back to court to get resentenced. Our courts are overloaded now and can't handle the caseloads and now introduce another 40,000 cases to be looked at. And this is with what we're trying to deal with, the impacts of prison realignment now, and now add this on top of it if it's approved. This is crazy.
Okay, now I'm going to go to the phones. Russ, do you have a question for the sheriff?
Yes, I do. Good morning.
Good morning, Russ.
I have a handyman that works around the house here, and sometimes I'll need some work done inside the house. I've known him for a couple of years, but I just found out he was a convicted something for a nonviolent crime. And so I was wondering, because I have weapons inside the house, is he allowed to come inside the home? Or is there a restriction on...
He can't reside there, which he does not. But if, let's say he did reside there, then you'd have to have the weapons secured, and he could not have access to them. Like, say, if they were in a gun safe and he did not know the combination, that would be proper. If he had access to them, he's also, then he would be considered, could be considered in possession of them. It'd be good if you have firearms there and he continues to work with you. I would have the weapons secured, safely secured, like in a gun safe, if you can do that.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Boo.
Thanks for calling in, Russ.
You bet. Hey, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air with outstanding professional work for over 20 years up here in the North State on all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Is your heater ready for the winter? Call Martin and Alliance Heating and Air at 221-2642, 221-2642. Make sure you're ready for the winter.
And we got the cool weather here.
Yeah, you know, it's coming now, and it's going to get colder. Check out homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. We're going to take a quick break. Sheriff Tom Basinko is our guest.
Yeah, so I'll finish.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
My name is Charlie Menor, retired Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. I'm honored to serve as chairman of Francie Sullivan's campaign for re-election to the Reading City Council. She is known for taking the time to carefully study issues and consider all the facts before making a decision. Francie is a fiscal conservative who has and is able to make the tough decisions that have helped the city of Reading weather these tough economic times. She is an avid supporter of Turtle Bay and understands its role as a major economic and cultural center for Reading in the North State. City of Reading is at a critical juncture in its ongoing development. Public safety, tough budget issues, and building a stronger job market are at the top of her agenda, and Francie understands the great energy and enthusiasm that exists in our city to address and move beyond these issues. Her vision is for a thriving and vibrant city for all citizens who wish to live and work. Is a vision I am choosing to vote for on November 4th. I hope you will join me. Thank you.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindabad. Good morning. It's October the 15th, 8:47 in the morning, 54 degrees out there, heading into rain today.
Chance of showers today with temperatures around 66, mostly cloudy tonight with temperatures around 50. Partly sunny on Thursday. Temperatures around 59. We're heading into rain Friday and Saturday. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Yep. Love them. How they locally, they're operated, owned and operated. And they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
All right. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basenko. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Tom. Welcome back. Okay, now we talked 47, which frankly, I just can't even imagine why people would want this to happen. Yet we're going to have somebody on from the ACLU, hopefully, if he gets permission to do it, to come on and talk to us why they think it's a good idea.
Exactly. And
what's the other side say?
They're saying that too many people are going to prison, and as a result, this will help. And the money, by saving, not sending people to prison, can be invested into our schools. Do you really think that's going to happen?
No, I don't think it's going to happen, because not when there's so many illegals out there that need to be helped, and high-speed train, and how does the lottery? I look at the lottery that is supposed to help education.
And
how's that working for you?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm sorry that I didn't get that.
Prop 47 is supported by all the major law enforcement groups: California State Sheriff's Association, California Chiefs of Police, the District Attorney's Association, police unions such as the Peace Officers Research Association of California, and on and on. Law enforcement executives are saying this is bad for California, especially on top of realignment that we're still dealing with every day.
And then there's something else that even piles on even more, the redefinition of recidivism.
Exactly.
This is just terrible.
It's the tweak. Recidivism, as defined by the State Board of Community Corrections, they did adopt a definition that basically says, hey, you're a recidivist if you're convicted of another crime, a new crime. Well, that can take anywhere from a few months to years, depending on what the crime is and how long your court has continued. And so it really delays the conviction, and it skews the results. And what I think it's doing is the state is trying to skew the results of prison realignment, AB 109, to its benefit, to say, hey, look at it, it's working. We only have a 10% recidivism rate. Well, let's see what the recidivism rate is a year, 2 years from now, as those statistics, delayed statistics, are rolling in.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is what they're saying is that means that the guy that we've arrested 15 times is not a recidivist.
Even though he's not convicted?
He's not convicted, but he's been arrested 15 times. Could be arrested for anything. As long as he doesn't show up in court or you don't get him convicted, it doesn't count.
You could use another definition. In fairness, okay, he's been arrested 15 times. Out of those 15 times, how many times has the DA filed charges on those 15? If they filed on him 14 out of the 15 times, because maybe one didn't have enough evidence to take to court.
Right.
Okay. There's 14 times that he's recidivating. Just because he or she has not been convicted does not mean that they're out committing new crimes or out recidivating. That's also a bad definition of what the State Board of Community Corrections adopted.
You know what? This is incredible. It's just incredible that they'll change the definition to say that, oh, look, AB 109 works.
That's exactly right. And that's what's happening.
I mean, this is such a flim-flam.
Prop 47 is a big no vote.
Yeah.
It would add to the problem.
You know, and there are, you know, we do stand up for measures like this, especially statewide. And 47, you know, I'll just do a PSA just to say vote no on 47, nothing else.
And I stay connected with a lot of these legislative things and some of the initiatives, as also to inform the public and take stands like this. I'm big on Second Amendment issues and on gun legislation.
Well, let's talk about that. Anything coming down on the props that could just, you know?
Well, not on the propositions, because that's an elected process, but on some of the recent ones that was recently defeated was SB Senate Bill 53, which would have required licensing and background checks for anybody who wanted to purchase ammunition.
Right.
I was on the phone and text messaging sheriffs and assembly members at 11 o'clock at night in the final hours of our assembly session that just ended, the legislative session. And very fortunately, we got six assembly members, Democrats, to vote against SB 53, and it was defeated. And those individuals put their necks on the line,
oh, yeah,
going against party lines, their own party, and it was defeated. And so it's efforts like that of myself and other sheriffs in the state of working for our Second Amendment and gun rights.
What about the one that was passed that said if Linda says comes to Sheriff Tom Basenko and says, you know, Carl's been acting erratically, I worry that he's going to use his guns?
That is Assembly Bill 1014.
Just signed.
That was passed and signed by the governor to where a temporary restraining order can be obtained through the court process, although you're not represented. And in the court process, and the judge can issue a temporary restraining order that says, hey, go to Carl's house, and he is restrained, and you can go search his house and seize his weapons.
That's only if Linda, who goes down there, she says, it doesn't mean she doesn't want to live with me or doesn't love me. She just says, I think he's acting erratically.
And she has to have some articulable facts to present to the court. Yeah.
But it can just be oral, though. Just let me finish this one
usually
part.
Usually a TRO, you have to have it in writing. So she orally expresses herself but puts it in writing.
Right.
Goes to the court, and then a judge would have to review it and decide whether to issue that temporary restraining order or not. If the judge issued it, then we come to your house, knock on the door.
You come to my house.
I would not come to your house. But law enforcement would come to the house, knock on the door, try and seize all your weapons. And then 2 days later, after trying to empty out the gun safe,
look who's talking.
Okay, can I just say
and then take them out. And then later you'd have to go back to court to try and get a permanent restraining order. And
my palms are sweaty. Can I talk just for a second about this? This is what really – okay, here's my huge red flag. Five minutes, yes, Tom. Yeah. This is my show too.
Thanks for letting us be here today.
Okay, please, let me have the floor here. What really, the red flag here is the nasty divorces that turn into false allegations against child molestation that happens. You see this in nasty divorces.
Often.
This is what is going to happen with this bill. Mm-hmm. You can see it on the writing. It's on the wall. It's going to be a torture. It's a torture, a form of torture.
Sometimes we see the restraining order process used in the divorce process. Maybe a spouse has a lot of guns and goes hunting, whether it be duck hunting or deer hunting. And then in this process, the restraining order is served right around hunting season. So the person has to turn in all their guns and... Since you have a restraining order, temporary or permanent, then you're not allowed to purchase guns either. If you went down to purchase a new gun, you would be prohibited in doing that. It would come up in the record system and put a stop to it.
Well, the other thing, too, is now the person who's been accused of it has to get legal defense. He has to go back and prove that, hey,
could be thousands of dollars.
It could take a long time, too. Right. So this whole time, his weapons are being taken by the government.
Then,
based on one accusation,
to obtain that restraining order, that takes law enforcement off the streets while they're working with the person to get that restraining order, going before the judge, getting the court order. Then law enforcement, usually in multiples, because then they have to go back to a person's house and then recover the weapons, search for the weapons. So you're going to take them while they're searching it, and then they have to, of course, store the weapons. So this search could take a long period of time. And then what happens if a weapon is missed and then the person goes out and uses it for violence, then they'll probably the law enforcement agents will be sued because
they didn't collect all the weapons.
You didn't collect all the weapons. You missed it. You knew and should have known, and you missed it and didn't get it.
Well, you know, this whole thing. And then what New York has just done is introduced is not just family members. Now it's acquaintances.
That's where AB 1014 first started out. It could have been anybody.
Anybody.
And then as it was opposed, it got refined to only family members.
Okay, now people will see that, you know, because, you know, I like to shoot. So people across the street can see me carrying gun cases. If that was passed, somebody could say, I've been watching this guy, and it's caused, you know, he's acting erratically, and he's got guns, and they come down. And actually,
I heard him screaming the other day.
And I actually had I have a judge that would say, boom. So then you've got neighbors that can do this, or people that just see you that don't know you that well.
And that's why it's really important to stay informed of what's going on in our legislature, whatever your passion is, to stay informed of what's going on in our legislators down in Sacramento, and stay in touch with them. I call Assemblyman Brian Daly on a regular basis or email or text him or send letters. I send letters to our legislators, to our governors on a regular basis on pieces of legislation. And other groups also contact legislators. That's important so they know whether they're making the bill and you're opposed to it, because they keep track of who's opposed and who's in favor of it or who's not opposing it. That's why it's important to have a voice in our democracy.
You just got to keep fighting here, because this is just one of the bills that came across that I just see as just a huge grab of rights right here. And you know, and people can just look at it and just see this is, it's got so much,
and no matter,
so much room there to be abused.
There's a bit of a like nasty said, underbelly like on that one.
And no matter where you stand on any of these issues, that's why it's so important to exercise your right and get out and vote on November 4th.
And you do. And you know what, my friends?
Thank you.
Last time in the primaries, 20% of the of Shasta County voted. We'd like to see 80% vote this time.
Yeah, it'll probably be a lower turnout because usually the governor's races, midterm races, are usually a low turnout.
Yeah.
But it's important to vote each and every time.
Each and every time. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, Frank Muse is coming in, and we're going to talk CARB and all these other things that are just hammering the economy if you have anything to do with transportation. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Linda, thank you for being with me today.
And which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A second Texas healthcare worker has tested positive for Ebola after caring for a Liberian man who brought the virus to this country and died a week ago in the hospital.
We're looking at every element of our personal protective equipment and infection control inside the hospitals. We don't have an answer for this right now, but we're looking at every possible angle around this.
Dr. Daniel Varga at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Matthews-Burwell says now that a second healthcare worker has tested positive for Ebola, the feds have a couple of priorities.
Making sure that we're providing the best care that we can for those patients. And the second is making sure that we're doing everything we can to protect healthcare workers.
He was on NBC's Today Show. The CDC says the latest Ebola patient flew on Frontier Airlines on Monday prior to the diagnosis. Authorities now trying to get in touch with passengers who were on board.